Hello, everybody. Welcome to UGA Sports. My name is Rodney Nabulsi. I am joined by our managing editor, Anthony Dasher, and our Jed. Do you even have a title?
No. I said I'll forget a paycheck before I get a title. So,
smart ass. We're going to have to come up with a title. No, it would look good on your CV. We need to give you something. I'll tell you what, we'll call you assistant managing publisher editor guy.
Works for me.
Be sure to leave the guy on the end there. Anyway, breaking news. We have a reaction right now from our staff with the Jaden Rashada picking Georgia. Pete Thamel reported it. We've been hearing the same thing. We told folks when he came to town that this is what we were expecting. We told them how the event went. We detailed day by day or hour by hour kind of what happened with it. And we said that if Georgia wanted him, Georgia could get him, and knew that Georgia did want him. The only thing we were worried about was kind of a last-second NIL offer from another school, but this is not a situation where Jaden's chasing a giant bag of cash. He wants to come to Georgia. Georgia's not going to spend a ton of money on it. It is, to me, this is a win-win, but I want to get your guys' thoughts. Anthony Dasher, you've been following the story that you have on the front page of UGASports.com. Yeah. Is about Jaden Rashada picking Georgia. Tell me what Georgia's getting, and tell me what you think about this situation.
Well, I like the fact that he's coming in to Georgia wanting to learn. And like you said, this is not about an NIL deal. It's about an opportunity to learn under Mike Bobo. And heck, you look at what the guy did in high school. He was a high four-star. He's ranked in the top, 200 of rivals. Very good size. What, 6'4", about 190 pounds. Yeah, he probably can become a little bit better. But I think he's a quarterback who, in Georgia's system, you know, I think can grow and become a pretty good player and perhaps be somebody that can push Gunnar Stockton and Ryan Puglisi, which is ultimately which I think Kirby Smart really wants, because he's made it very clear from going back in December that he wanted a fourth scholarship quarterback on campus. Wasn't sure how that was going to happen. They thought they had one with a guy from Malavia from UNLV before he changed his mind and went to Southern Cal. So this worked out, I think, you know, perfectly for Coach Smart to get a guy, you know, of the caliber of Rashada, somebody who wanted to come to Athens, wanted to play in this system. I think it's a good thing for all, you know, all sides.
Jed?
Yeah, and I mean, this is one, like Dash said, when he first went in the portal, you wondered, because obviously there's the history of Florida with the NIL deal that fell through, and that's how he ended up at Arizona State to begin with. So my first inclination was, I wonder if this is a situation where, you know, Georgia is leaked and then, you know, the NIL comes from somewhere else. But like you said, this isn't a situation where he's chasing NIL, because if it was, he wouldn't be committing to Georgia. So he's willing to come to Georgia and learn. Carson Beck is obviously your starter for 2024. Willing to come, and I assume he'll be here in June, I would guess. Learn the system for 6 months, and then once the 24 season is over, you go into competition with Gunnar Stockton, Ryan Puglisi, and Ryan Montgomery as well for the starting job in that 2025 season.
The last day or the last days of classes, the last week at Arizona State is this week. They have finals next week. He could be in Athens, and he could be in Athens at the end, tail end of next week. A lot of the finals are now online. You know, you can do that stuff while you're mm-hmm. moving. So he could be there. You mentioned, you know, the whole NIL angle on this, and when his name first popped out there, the way all of a sudden everybody knew that he was looking at Georgia as one of his top schools, and he named, you know, a few others were mentioned, it did have that feel like an agent is putting this out there, very much like Christian Miller. And we'll talk about him a second ago. All of a sudden, Christian Miller's in the portal, and you know it's an NIL play. You know there's no question about it. I'm not trying to throw the kid under the bus. I like Chris. We've interviewed him a ton of times. He's a very gregarious young man. He's fun to talk to. He's fun to watch play football. He's an absolute star. And he knows he could make more money somewhere else. And so he put his name in the portal. And all of a sudden, this morning, hey, he's sticking at Georgia. He has unfinished business. It happens. It's going to happen. And we talked last night with Russ Tanner. You'd be a fool not to. If Anthony came to me and said, hey, I've got another job offer out there, I'm like, well, tell me about it, because either I'm going to try to match it, I'm going to try to keep you, or we're going to have to part ways. Most often your bosses, if they value you, they try to match it. So we saw that with the Christian Miller situation with Rashada. When his name popped up immediately, we're like, how could Georgia get a kid who was once promised by Florida $13.8 million, going back to that athletic article? They're they're tapped out, but they're paying QB1 money to a QB1. Not going to pay a QB1 money to QB3 or 4 on your depth chart. That's just not going to happen. So I thought, man, this is a long shot. Hey, Kirby Smart hits the long shots. This, you're getting a top flight quarterback. You're getting him for a pittance now. Now, if he wins the starting job, you'll have to pay him. There's no question. But I just think, is there a downside to this? Maybe the room? I don't know. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying this to me just seems like a win-win-win across the board.
Yeah, it does to me too. I mean,
I just want to be sure it wasn't me.
No, it's not just you. I think you know, back in the day before NIL, you know, became a thing, then yeah, maybe it would be. I mean, maybe if you're a player, you might would take offense at somebody coming in and trying to, you know, ruin the vibe of the room or whatever, take over the position. But I think all these kids understand now, especially with NIL the way it is, that guys are going to chase these offers. And I don't think anybody blames anybody for doing that. And I don't think anybody blames anybody for coming in. But, you know, like we said with Jay, this is not about that. It's an opportunity for him to come in. And again, I think his teammates will welcome him with open arms.
Yeah. We lost Jed there. I think Evan Grimes told him to take that orange off. He's going to change his shirt. This is a very talented quarterback he's a big kid. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have assumed that if he's coming in, it's because Georgia isn't satisfied with Gunnar Stockton's progression and that they need somebody to push Gunnar Stockton. I don't think you need anybody to push Gunnar Stockton. That kid is a warrior. He is a football player from his toenails to his hair follicles. In baseball, you know, you have a guy running beside you, you know, when you're running to first base, you had that drill where you had to beat him to teach you speed. You know, you always go faster, but with having a second guy with you, having somebody push you all the time, I get that, you know. I don't know that you need somebody chomping going at the heels, but what happened in the G-Day game? You had your starting quarterback have to play the entire game because you only had two guys that were helping.
Yeah.
So I don't know that this is I think too many people are taking this as a question of Gunner and not a priority of Kirby Smart.
No, exactly. And also people, you know, when we talked about this before in other shows, when Georgia does its practices, it like basically had like four practices going at one time, a first string quarterback, second string quarterback, third string, and a fourth string guy. That's how so many guys are able to get so many reps. So you want to have a capable quarterback back there. Granted, they've got a couple of walk-on guys, but again, Kirby has made it very clear he wants four scholarship quarterbacks, which is not easy to do in this day and age. You know, in college football, again, going back to that NIL and everybody wanting to play quarterbacks, especially, you know, or, you know, sooner rather, you know, than later. So, you know, I think, you know, for everybody, again, everybody involved, I think this is a good move. And Jaden seemed to be doing anyway for all the right reasons.
Jed, you were told to take that orange off by Evan Grimes, just saying that.
Well, I wasn't planning to be doing this, so it's Biscuit Express. It's my family's breakfast place. If anybody's in Hull, go there. So, you know, we can throw a little free ad in there. But, no, I was trying to be a good, healthy human and walk on the treadmill this morning. And then we had Kristen Miller happen, and then we had Jaden Rashada happen in the span of, what, an hour and a half? So it's as busy of a Thursday morning as you're going to get for the middle of April, end of April, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You're not getting your steps in there. You keep getting interrupted. Heart.
Yeah, exactly. Up there.
But if you're a Georgia fan, your heartbeat's racing because, I mean, you've had two huge pieces of news, Kristen Miller coming back, landing Jaden Rashada. There's a lot of folks in the comments, and we appreciate it. Foster Moss, good to see you. Goat Dog, Josh, Evan, Jake, Candy Clip, a lot of our best commenters are in here. We appreciate that. I like this one from Jake Smith. It says, you got to see the Florida board. Already posted about Rashada, and three posts in, they say he sucks, they didn't want him, et cetera, et cetera. I love it. We got to talk about the Florida angle on this. What was the one? Indy Clip, Kirby continues to dunk on Florida. This was I don't want to say the linchpin, but when he decommitted from Florida, he had been in Miami, goes to Florida, gets a huge NIL deal, signs a contract. Florida then all of a sudden can't pay it. People promised it. Yeah, we'll get him. Yeah, whatever it takes, we'll get him. And then the Florida Collective didn't pay it. That was a huge national story. And it didn't hurt them just for them losing their future quarterback. There are a lot of other kids that said, look, if you can't pay that guy, well, mm-hmm. maybe you can't pay me. And now all of a sudden, there's the potential this kid goes to the Georgia-Florida game this year, gets in the game. Hopefully, Georgia's up by, 28 points, and you throw Gunner out there for a couple of things. I wouldn't put it past Kirby Smart to send him out there to hand the ball off a couple of times or just to twist the knife. Am I wrong?
No. That makes a lot. Like you said, I could definitely see Kirby. I mean, Kirby went, 1-3 against Florida in his – career, I think, right, Dash? So,
yeah,
I wouldn't put it past him. I don't think
he might do it. But I'm not, y'all, you guys know me. I'm probably not as big a conspiracy theorist as some of maybe both of you. I don't think Kirby Smith.
You're not, you are the true journalist, like myself.
Florida, but again, yeah, it's a fun thing to talk about. I'm not sure if fans on both sides are going to be eating that part up and playing it up, but I don't. Ultimately, I'm not sure if that was or will be maybe more so for Florida fans. I'm sure it'll piss them off to see Jaden come on the field after what happened in Gainesville back in January or whenever it was. But now I don't think there's any kind of nefarious stuff going on with Kirby and for signing Jaden.
I'm not saying it's nefarious, but I can just see
that might have been a bad word on my part there. But I don't think it's anything to do with one. That's just me.
We were given a list of quarterbacks that Georgia was looking at. I say given a list. We looked into some names that – remember what Kirby Smart said about when they get somebody in the transfer portal. They either played against him, recruited him. There has to be some sort of familiarity about it. And we looked into it, and there were some guys, like at American Heritage, other people around the country, quarterbacks who had gone in the portal – that Georgia had either seen in person, they'd seen them when they were recruiting someone else, they'd seen them on another team. One of the coaches on the staff had, coached against them, in another conference. We've seen stuff like that. But Rashada was by far and away the biggest name that I saw going to the portal. Is there somebody I'm missing?
Not really. I mean, there have been a few quarterbacks that have gone on to some, big Power Five schools, but none of them – certainly none of them jumped out at you, and none of them you would have sat here and like, man, I wish he was at Georgia. He would really do a great job pushing Gunner, blah, blah, blah. I don't think there was anybody out there like that. But like you said, I think Jaden is probably, of all the guys I've seen anyway, probably looks like the best one.
Yeah, and I like this comment from Goat Dog. Imagine Rashada throwing a touchdown to ETN in Jacksonville in the fourth quarter to go up by 4 scores.
That would be something.
But – the reason I'm mentioning that, and the reason I was asking you about any other quarterbacks, it's to take away the conspiracy. He didn't do this just – Kirby Smart didn't do this just to screw over
Florida. No.
I'm sure he doesn't mind.
He doesn't mind, but yeah, it wasn't a reason.
But, again, I also want to talk about who was one of the best running backs we saw go on the portal.
Yeah.
Trevor Etienne,
exactly.
Georgia needed a running back. They needed an experienced running back. You had Branson Robinson's injured. Rod Robinson's young, hasn't played a whole lot. Andrew Paul's coming, still off that ACL.
Mm-hmm.
3 freshmen coming in. You're losing 2 really talented backs. Hopefully we'll see them drafted here in the next couple days. They get Trevor Etienne. Kirby Smart says in this press conference, I need 4 quarterbacks, 4 scholarship guys, plus some good preferred walk-ons. Sometimes you need to rest your quarterback midweek. He goes out and gets the best quarterback. As much as we were pulling our hair out, not that I have any left, about Georgia's portal, yeah, it's coming, Jed. It's coming, baby. You keep getting interrupted with the treadmill. This is what happens.
You got that Kirby Smart bowl cut going this morning, man. I'm impressed.
Yeah, well, like I said, I got up and came up here. I can knock this out. I can get some recruiting stories done this afternoon. I can get dinner. I can watch the draft.
You're the man, Jed. I shouldn't pick
this whole, this whole job thing kind of, gets in the way of real life.
The job thing is getting in the way of your health and hygiene. But we can lament. Dash, you had the list. Is it 22 players, scholarship and walk-on, who have transferred from Georgia since the
that is, was yeah, open? 22, 23, yeah. I was never a math major, but I think that 22 is correct.
Okay. You lost some good players. But at the same time, you've held on to some of your best ones. And we're going to transfer into Christian Miller here in a second. But look at what you've added. Okay, the two wide receivers you got last year are lights out, you know, and Ra-Ra Thomas and Dom Lovett. You pick up Colby Young out of Miami, who's really good. London Humphrey is one of the best young wide receivers in the SEC last year. Michael Jackson, the people out in USC just rave about him. You know, you lose a commit to USC and people freak out, but you just took one of their better wide receivers. You've got a tight end coming in to help you there. Xavier McLeod gets two sacks in the spring game. Now you've added a fantastic running back, one of the best in the SEC, and now you've added a really talented quarterback. Again, and I'm not trying to kiss up or be a homer here. I'm just saying that Kirby Smart's advantage over most other coaches in the SEC is his recruiting ability and his roster management. As much as we want to pull our hair out about kids transferring and the Christian Miller news and losing Andrew Paul and Tyler Williams, it's working to Kirby Smart's advantage. The transfer portal, there are more kids that want to come to Georgia, top players, than want to go just about anywhere else. And that's going to – you're able to pick and choose from other teams. You're not rating them, but you're landing damn good players. Am I wrong?
No, exactly. I mean, and the players, you know, Georgia Kirby typically brings in are guys that are going to fill specific needs. They're not just roster fodder. I mean, these are guys who are going to contribute immediately, be part of the two deep. I mean, you mentioned, getting back to Trevor, you know, for a second. I think the only other running back out there I would have, considered would have been Quinshaw Judkins, the Ole Miss running back who went to Ohio State. But those two, I think, you know, head and shoulders above any running backs, you know, that were in the portal, you know, this year.
Georgia was in the running for Quinshaw Judkins.
Yeah, they were. And I think if Etienne had not come here, I think Georgia would have stood a very good chance of signing Quinshaw, just based on what I've been told.
You're right. Our guy who does all the Rivals' rankings, Jed, he has sole discretion over the rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Jed, you've seen it from the recruiting side. I mean, Georgia signs the number one class far and away yesterday, last year. You see up front how Kirby Smart's roster management goes. You cover the team all day, every day as well. Thoughts on Kirby Smart and how this transfer portal is working? To me, it's working in his advantage. We can complain about it, but how many top guys has Kirby lost versus how many has he signed? I think it's definitively advantage Kirby and not the other way.
Well, and like Dash said, he brings in guys who fill specific needs. You know, you look at a guy like Colby Young, who is the big-bodied X receiver, and you saw at G-Day, what did he had? Two contested catches for first downs, and he caught a fade ball for a touchdown. That's his role on the team, and that's what you brought him in for. You look at, Trevor Etienne, he had three or four catches, I think, on G-Day for 30, 40 yards. That's the type of guy he can be. So he targets, and he always has in this, going back to, 3 years ago now when you get Tyke Smith and I guess it was Eric Gilbert out of the portal. You bring in a tight end that you need and you bring in the DB that you need. And obviously Eric didn't work out, but Tyke becomes a integral part of your defense for the past 3 years and is going to get drafted in the next couple of days. So it's very, I think roster fodder was a good way to put it, Dash. Like you don't bring in bodies just to bring in bodies. You bring in guys who fill specific needs, who are, I guess, targeted at certain positions. You know, he's shown that he's willing to go get a portal receiver or two. I think that's the position that he's focused on the most because you bring in five guys at that position in the past 2 years. But he is going to bring in guys to fill needs, not necessarily, you know, just to bring in a body.
That's a good point. I had not thought about – you both mentioned the needs part. I was just thinking just sheer numbers and talent-wise, but – actually, let's bring on Brent, too, because I'll get Brent's thoughts on this. Brent, I was making my theory is the transfer portal is an absolute win for Kirby Smart because he – I don't say sheds good players. Georgia will keep any of their guys. And I know a lot of people out there will say, hey, the team kind of forced me into transferring. And Kirby will – as the kids say, keep it 100 with them and say, look, you can stay here and you can be on our team. You will help us win championships, but I don't see a whole lot of playing time for you going forward. If a kid takes that and goes into the portal, more power to him. Tyler Williams, perfect example of that. Tyler Williams wasn't going to crack the starting lineup at Georgia. He can go somewhere else and play. You don't want to lose an Andrew Paul, but you replace an Andrew Paul or you lose him, but you get a Trevor Etienne. I was just thinking from a sheer number standpoint, the production that Georgia has gotten out of the portal has been phenomenal. And Jed covers recruiting, and he mentions that Georgia's over the last 2 years has landed five top wide receivers out of the portal. They haven't been as successful landing the top flight guys in recruiting, so they've supplemented in the portal. Jed and Dash just made a great point. I didn't think about it. The role players, I mean, he brings in not just specific bodies, he brings in specific guys to catch fades in the red zone, you know, specific players, you know, and he needs a star. So he brings in a guy to play that nickel spot. I think it's a good point.
Right? He's mastered roster management. I think that you can't really speak it sort of any other way but I will say this, you aren't able to do that unless you destroy recruiting. That's funny, by the way. All the orange. This is not anywhere near Tennessee orange. Jed's maybe is a little closer. But, you know, if you destroy recruiting like he has, then you can supplement and fill the pieces of your roster like you can. But one of the reasons I popped on, I didn't get a chance. I was driving to work, so I didn't get a chance to hear. But and maybe you guys have said this, maybe you haven't, but Carson Beck today doesn't happen with Rashada coming without Carson Beck. Like, you can't – if Carson Beck transferred 2 years ago and then it's just the next five-star with, you know, Vandergriff kind of takes over when Stetson goes away and then that just kind of falls in line, today doesn't happen. Like, where you get a top 200 type player – to say, look, I'm not coming here to play right away. I'm coming here to grow, develop in a pro style system, develop in sort of that realm because of what Carson Beck has done. Because Beck has taken himself from a non-250, top 250 recruit. I think he was like the 15th or 16th quarterback when Ryle was when he came out. Still a four-star. But from that to now, he's going to be a top five pick next year. And I think he would have been the fourth, at minimum the fourth, maybe the third quarterback taken in this draft. Like, without him, today doesn't happen with Rashada coming.
Well, and we mentioned that on Rumors versus Facts the other night that, again, Carson obviously decided to come back, but he has proven that you can wait your turn and start 1 year and put up really good numbers. And like you said, be a low first, mid-second, or early second-round pick, mid-first-round pick. You obviously don't know how the combine and all that stuff would have shaken out, but he's proven that the roadmap is there. So like you said, Rashada knows, hey, I can spend a year, I can learn, I can, you know, build chemistry with some of these other guys who are stepping into big roles in 25. And then he will be fighting with Gunnar Stockton and Puglisi for that starting job next year. If he gets it and if he plays well, there's no reason he wouldn't be a first-round pick in the 2026 NFL draft.
So he's got – Dash, he's got 4 years, right?
Got 4 years. That's right.
Just so he basically is coming in. He's the equivalent of coming in Ryan Puglisi's class.
Yep.
So basically, he's the replacement Dylan Raiola.
Yeah. If you look at it that way, that's exactly right.
What were they trying to do, Brent? They're trying to bring in two quarterbacks in that class.
Yep. And the kid's got. He's got ability.
Tell the fans, we got Barry in here now and Joshua Armstrong. Tell everybody what George is getting in Jaden Rashada. Because you're going to have to do a film breakdown now.
Yeah, I am. Probably, I was thinking about that on the way here because I was thinking, can I do it by myself? Because Dane's in the maternity ward right now. but, you know, we'll see. But I think the biggest thing watching his highlights, I haven't watched the sort of play for play with him. Watching some of the highlights, it's the quick release to me that stands out. Very quick release because one of the things that Carson Beck has, in essence, spoiled, I think, the fan base as well as Bobo and their offense is his ability to play like turn double plays like a shortstop and just the ball is out instantaneously. And I think that's something we talked about it after the spring game that I don't think you get really with Gunner. Gunner's the time to throw the ball is a little slower, but Rashad has a very quick release. And when you that frame year or two, strength and conditioning, get him into the 200 plus pound range. Now you're talking about someone with NFL level traits.
Who wins the job next year? I'm of the assumption. A lot of people saying it'll be a fight, and he, you know, Rashada will go against Gunner, and there's questions about Gunner, and I don't see it. The reason I say that is go back, not this spring, but last spring. You had a three-way battle between Carson Beck, Gunner Stockton, and Brock Vandegrift. Carson Beck, after spending a year as Stetson Bennett's backup, as in that number two role, I won't say it was head and shoulders, but he was ahead by far of everybody else for the sheer number of reps that he got working the offense, working with the number twos and not the threes and fours. This year, I would imagine, would be Gunner Stockton getting all the number two reps, being the guy to come in, get out on the field. We know he can play. I think that he would have his third year in the season or third season at Georgia when next spring rolls around?
Mm-hmm.
3 years in the same offensive system versus a guy that's coming in June. I don't know that I'm expecting Gunner to walk away with
it. I'm also of the belief that at this point in college football, unless you have a straight up dude, you can't project QBs.
Very fair.
Like, it's wild, wild west. It's, you know.
Okay.
Do you not?
Well, then the other question, let me ask you this one.
Take me off today. If I'm going to leave tomorrow and then that kind of stuff. Like, just say the wrong thing. It's you've maximized your roster right now and that room for this season. And that, you know, that to me is immeasurable.
Anyway. Any transfer concerns? Because we've seen a few. See you, Brent. Take care.
Thanks.
Any transfer concerns? We've seen a lot of people. Now we got to worry about somebody transferring, Ryan Puglisi or Gunner Stockton.
I don't think that's a transfer concern unless, for whatever reason, Rashada were to win the job and Gunner was kind of left behind. And I agree with you, Roddy. I think that's going to happen. I think Gunner Stockton is going to, you know, be the quarterback, Nick. I think he's going to earn it, you know, on the practice field. That's just my opinion. I've known Gunner, his family, a long time. I covered his dad way back in the day at Georgia, so I know what kind of, how mentally tough his dad was. I don't think the apple's falling too far from the tree in regards to Gunner. So you talk to players about Gunner, too. They will tell you, and I don't think they're just blowing smoke. I mean, how good a job he does, how much he knows the offense. And they're very comfortable with him at quarterback, I think. I mean, is he a prototype, type of guy? You know, no, maybe not, but you don't have to be. You just have to be able to run the offense, make plays, and, you know, anticipate that kind of thing. And that's, I think, what Kirby Smart is looking for. And, again, it's going to be a competition. I don't think it's a slam dunk, but I'll be very, very surprised if Gunner Stockton is not Georgia's quarterback in 2025. And getting back to your question about transferring, No, I don't think that's the case. I mean, Jed knows Ryan Puglisi a lot better than I do. But, man, everything you read, every time a word comes out of this guy's mouth, it just screams a competitor. And I just don't see him running away from a situation, you know, involving the quarterback, pecking order, right now.
Jed, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Dashy, I mean, when Dylan Raiola and Puglisi were committed in the same class for – however long, 7-8 months, he was adamant. Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to come in and compete. I know there's going to be competition anywhere I go. I think the only way I would see Puglisi transferring is something like Brock Vandegrift, where he's been here for 2 or 3 years, and it's just clear there's not really a path. And maybe that happens. Like Brent said, you have no – I mean, if Gunner wins the job next spring, who's to say Rashada doesn't transfer back out again after learning a year in Athens? So, I mean, you don't really know how any of this is going to go. What we do know is, you know, when fall practice opens on August 1st or whatever, Carson Beck's your guy, and Gunner is your number two, I would assume. And then it'll be Rashada and Puglisi kind of battling for three. But then if you're Kirby Smart, how much you mentioned how the practices go earlier, how much does Kirby Smart think in practice, okay, I need to get Jaden Rashada some of these number two reps to kind of catch him up a little bit, just because he's not that Kirby's necessarily wanting Rashada to win the job, but he's got to think this is going to be a fair fight at all next spring. This guy needs to get some reps more than just the scout team or third string. So that's going to be not that we ever get to see practice, but that's going to be interesting to see how that kind of shakes out in practice this fall. How do those reps get split up behind Carson?
Well, I'm thinking about he's not here yet. you could see a Caden Proctor thing. He's in, he goes back. So that's why we wrote a story yesterday about Christian Miller intending to put his name in the transfer portal. And then Dash had a great analysis, and I remember making sure the headline said, what could the departure of Christian Miller mean for Georgia? And for you Journalism 101 kids watching along, that's why you don't write the headline what his departure meant or means for Georgia, because he had left me when he hadn't put it in there. So we made sure that headline said could mean, and sure enough today.
We got a visitor, Roddy.
Special guest.
Special guest, it's Dancer, my dog. She's tromping in here. She's looking for my wife. She's not home. Give me your thoughts on Christian Miller, guys. This is announced yesterday. He was going to put his name in the transfer portal, and this morning, all of a sudden, he's back.
Well, this isn't the first time this has happened for anybody who's been following Georgia football for the last few years. I mean, it's sounded a lot like a Marius Mims situation a couple of years ago. Right, I mean
Julian Humphrey.
Julian Humphrey's a Daniel mm-hmm. Daniel Harris, Daniel you know, Harris. Yep. Too. I mean, Mims was what was going to well, went it put his name before went to Florida State. Isn't that correct?
Went to Florida State
for a visit, then decided to come back to Georgia. So, I mean, it's not the first time we've seen this happen, and I promise you, it won't be the last time we see this either. And again, I don't know all the ins and out reasons why you know Christian changed his mind, why he was going to go into portal. Well, we know it was going bad. We know that, but. All the other reasons, you know, surrounding that, you know, surrounding both decisions. But, I mean, we've seen this before, and we'll see it again as long as we've got the NIL situation like it is right now.
Your thoughts on it?
Yeah, well, I actually, and I sent it to y'all last night, I had someone reach out to me and was like, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think Chris is going to leave. I don't think he's going to leave. This might be a leverage thing. And, of course, this is, I don't know, an hour after the news came out. It's like, I don't know. And then sure enough, I saw it this morning and I was like, okay. It's just, it. I don't know.
You got connections, maybe. You knew what was going to happen before any of
it. It's exhausting. It's just, like you said, Dash, we know what this is. You know, the whole unfinished business thing and whatever. I mean, it's, and you can't blame him. I mean, like you said, Dash, he's not the first kid to do this. I mean, Mims took the extra step of visiting Florida State, but, it is what it is. I mean, Kirby Smart has – I forget when he said it this spring, or maybe it was Dave. I don't know. Somebody – one of the coaches said, yeah, kids come into your office, and the two questions are how much you're going to pay me and how much am I going to play? And that's – I mean, it is what it is. Roddy, you mentioned in your I don't know if you mentioned this in Dash's story or update or something yesterday, but there were some guys at Georgia who were on the fence – one way or another, and Christian Miller came down on one side, and then he, you know, toted his 300-pound self up and crawled back over to the other side. So, you know, it is what it is. Like you said, Dash, it's not the first, it's not the last. That's how college football is. And, you know, from to take all the drama out of it, it's good news for Georgia because you definitely need all the help you can get along that defensive line. And Christian Miller, he's a talented guy. You know, he hasn't produced. I mean, that 22 season he redshirted last year, he was a rotational guy. He hadn't produced a ton, but especially at a place like Georgia, they like to roll those guys in and out. It's big to keep a body like that in town, no matter what you had to do to get it there.
Because Christian, I think, had of the returning defensive lineman had like the third amount of reps last year. I think 209.
Yeah, was the total. Yeah, and again, that's at that three tech spot. Specifically, yeah. you lose Zion Lode, you lose, Tramell Walthour played there sometimes. Jonathan Jefferson transferred out. Now, he obviously didn't play a ton, but you that spot in particular, like nose tackle, okay, you got Stackhouse came back.
But he can also play that zero technique as well.
I mean, exactly. So it's a big, again, it's a big add or a big, I don't know, retention, I guess, to keep him here because you need everything you get along that defensive line. And who knows, maybe he has a breakout year this year. You know, we've seen Warren Brinson flash last year. Maybe Kristen Miller is that guy this year. But yeah, definitely a big, big move to keep him in Athens.
Yep. There were two to four guys who were on the fence. And Christian was one of the guys that's kind of going back and forth with the coaches. And again, I say there's no ill will there because, or there's no downside to doing what Christian does. A lot of people say, oh, well, you know, the coach to be mad at him. Coaches, hell, the coaches do this themselves. They get their agents name them as potential replacements for other openings throughout the country, and all of a sudden they get a raise where they are. So this happens at the coaching level, so they understand it. And do they like it? No, but Kirby Smart, I don't care how much he could hate a player, but if he needs a three technique, he's going to put him in the game. This is the best three technique. So
there's absolutely no ill will, and all I can promise you that. Of Christian, you know, going into the portal and coming back, that would be not enough.
It didn't hurt Amarius Mims playing. Julian Humphrey is going to be a starter. Daniel Harris is going to be nipping at his heels.
I mean, Julian Humphrey elevated himself to whatever leadership level you got to be to talk to the media this year. Dash, he talked to the media, I think it was that last week of spring. So,
yeah,
you know, he, like you said, if there was any ill will, he would have been closeted away. And Mims did the same thing. You know, both Mims and Humphrey, those first times they met with the media, they got all kind of questions. Why'd you think about leaving? Why'd you decide to stay?
Yeah.
You're going to get those questions if you play this game. I don't know if we'll necessarily get Kristen this fall. But if he does, he's going to get those questions. So, like I said, no ill will, and it just it is what it is.
Well, Dash had said, it's not the first time it's happened. It won't be the last time. That's true. And that's why I mentioned there are some other dominoes who could fall on that same side of the fence, put their name in, come back, put their name in, leave. Some of them have decided to stay. The biggest thing that has kept Georgia's retention, because Georgia was expecting, this is from within the staff, they were expecting, you know, anywhere from 6 to 10 guys to possibly leave. You know, it could be as few as three, could be as many as 10. It could be more than 10, you know. And Kirby Smart said, when they come in, they have a plan. As you said, Dash, you know, and Jed, they walk in, they go, how much playing time am I going to get? And what can you do for me via NIL? And Georgia has drawn a hard line in the sand. This is from somebody who knows, saying, look, this is it. We're not going to meet all these demands, and everybody wants to go up, and you've got other schools that might be courting you, but this is what we're going to do. What has helped Georgia to retain a lot of those guys is the kids who are here are on one of the best teams in the nation. So they do have that draw to go somewhere else, but they want to play in the best conference. They can't play in the best conference. These guys made it to an SEC team. They made it to an SEC powerhouse, and they want to play in the SEC. And, you know, knowing that you're going to be on in front of everybody all the time.
Plus, Kirby Smart has proven he can put players in the NFL, which is what everybody wants to do. So, you know,
tonight, I'd say two guys, possibly three.
I'm going to say two. I think, you know, Brock and Mims. There's maybe an outside chance. Maybe a Led McConkey can sneak in at the latter half of the first round. I mean, he seemed like a Kansas City Chiefs type of player to me. And I'm sure he would probably go very well in that offense. So keep an eye on that one, maybe. But
Kirby has to be begging Andy Reid, do me a solid, give me a first round.
I'll pay a salary.
Please, I'll pay a signing bonus. Just please let us put out a graphic that says we have more than one first round receiver since 2011 or whenever AJ Green got drafted. But yeah, like you said, Mims will probably go mid first round. Brock, I don't know. I mean, I think everybody knows he's one of the best football players in the draft. It's just a matter of how high do you value the tight end. But yeah, like you said, right, Georgia's got unique selling points that I don't think, I mean, the combination of development plus winning plus best conference, I mean, take out the best conference part even. I mean, how many schools have winning plus two? I mean, you can think Ohio State, you know, Michigan, I think, is supposed to have like 14 or 15 guys drafted. Alabama, obviously, but it's a whole new regime at Alabama. So what have those guys proven? So it's for transfers specifically, Georgia's got a whole lot of unique selling points not a lot of other schools can match.
Yeah, I was trying to – I know I have it here. Our Dave McMahon did a great analysis of the draft. He had some great points on there. One of them was the fact that, you know, Georgia had had 25 guys drafted in the last two, and I think that's the most any school has had in, like, back-to-back years and the combined thing. So that's pretty impressive. Leaving that again, that's why I say it's pulling in big names. You'll lose some, but this second open transfer portal has been beneficial in that a lot of the suitors for Georgia's players would have been other SEC teams. Mm-hmm. They know they can't get them. So I'm not saying crisis averted, but crisis mitigated. That's been a big one there. Oh, and Evan Grimes steps up with a $20 super chat. We appreciate that. It says, if Vlad goes in the first round, that is massive for recruiting. Developed another 3-star to a first rounder. Yes. And while I got you guys here, my two best writers, I think we should do a story on the number of 3-stars that have been developed highly, either gone in the first or second round. There's been
Sean Bullard. I mean, I don't know if he'll go in the second round, but
Eric Stokes.
Kamari Lassiter, depending on where he goes. Let's see. I mean,
Jordan Davis.
Fun game to do live on air. Devontae Wyatt, I think, right? Was a fairly lowly recruiting guy.
I think Jordan and Devontae were both 4-stars. But
Jordan was a 4-star, but I think Devontae was a 3-star, though, if I'm not mistaken. I might be wrong about it, but I think he wasn't all that highly recruited anyway as a defensive lineman because he obviously made a lot of development is the last 2 years here in Athens.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Jordan might have been like an industry 3-star, but I think we might have had him as a 4-star.
That's what I was going by.
Yeah. So, but there are a few of them out there that I think it's a good story. I mean, it's just the sheer number. Because, I mean, we just did a whole 20 minutes with my theory that Kirby Smart is the best in the business at roster management. He can out-recruit people. He can win the transfer. You give him the rules, he's going to win within the rules. He's going to figure it out to get the best advantage. You create a new game, he's going to win it. Now, the one thing he can't do is outbuy everybody. He can't outspend everybody. We had somebody post up earlier about Judkins getting like $1.5 million from Ohio State. Well, Georgia's never going to pay that for a running back. You know, that's just not going to happen. Hell, they were only going to pay like $300,000 for Caleb Downs, like $360,000, and he's getting $1.2 million from Ohio State. So there are other schools out there who are very desperate after having lost 3 times to Michigan, or you know your Oklahoma, you're trying to get back on track, or your Texas, or whoever hasn't won back-to-back national titles. You got some folks out there who are willing to spend a ton of money. Kirby's not going to have that war chest, but he does have that NFL record. And to have another couple guys drafted, you know, more offensive linemen taken, tight ends. We've seen the effect of Georgia getting all those defensive linemen drafted. How long was the gap for a Georgia defensive lineman to go in the first round? What was it, 20 years?
It's 20-something years. Yeah,
it was Jonathan Sullivan, I think, was the last one, right, Dash?
I think you're right.
Before
first round pick, went to the Saints.
But now, when we had the rivals camp on Sunday, you talk to a defensive lineman, he's like, yeah, they get a lot of guys in the draft. So to your point, Jed, if you could just get Ladd McConkey in that first round, Kirby Smart wouldn't touch – he wouldn't touch the floor for, like, the next 3 weeks, man. Aaron Gregory.
Those first-round receiver graphics are prepped and ready to go. Just – begging, man. Just I'm telling you, I will pay the signing bonus. I'll fly him out to Kansas City myself. Do me, Andy Reid, do me this one solid. it's I mean, again, Ladd being the 38th pick or whatever would be it's a fantastic story in itself, but to have that first round attached to it is a different level.
Real quick, we got to thank our sponsor, The Rogue Shop. Whenever we do one of these live reactions, it is mainly due in part to The Rogue Shop. They have all of your chronic pain and sleep issue needs. If you have chronic pain, you need to reach out to The Rogue Shop. They can help you out. If you can't sleep, if you're like one of my best friends down in Pensacola, she can't sleep for anything. She will stay up until 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning until she basically her body just shuts down. She's tried everything. You can give her 700 different remedies and pills and stuff. None of it works on her. The Rogue Shop's helped her. So she's finally getting some sleep. Now, of course, if you want some of the Delta 8, the THC gummies, you know, for enjoyment purposes, they have those too. They also have drinks and tinctures. And they also have a pain cream that I use on my left knee because I need to get my meniscus replaced and I've never done it. And it's going on 2 years now. And when it starts acting up, I put that on there. The anti-inflammatory cream takes the swelling down in my knee and it feels a lot better. So reach out to our friends at The Rogue Shop. Use promo code BULLDOGS10, BULLDOGS10, and get 10% off your order from our friends at The Rogue Shop. So hit them up when you get a chance. All right, that's pretty much all the time we have for today's show. I know you guys got to jump on there, and Jed's got to get back on the treadmill. He's got a ton of recruiting stories. We have a lot of updates that are just sitting, waiting for me to launch them this afternoon. We have to go and talk to folks on the UGA Sports on the message board there. Dash has a great behind-the-scenes story about Georgia's latest basketball signee, transfer. Hey, Mike White doing wonders in the transfer portal as well. So it giveth and it taketh away. So we're taking away right now. Hey, shout out to Evan for the super chat. We appreciate that. And we will see you all the next time news breaks. If not, we'll see you Sunday night. Take care.